It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King and the Padres dugout about to launch the King of the Hill Foundation. We'll talk about that in a second, but first, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, of course. I think it's been since spring training, right?
It has been. It's been a while. I have one question for you. This is where I'd like to start today. What kind of grown man doesn't get out of bed until after 10 a.m.? Michael?
I knew this was coming. Yes, I was not able to do the interview this morning. I don't go to bed until pretty late, so I need my beauty sleep, and it sometimes runs me after 10 a.m.
Well, it seems to be working for you. You're looking good and fresh and fantastic.
So it was 6.5 months ago that we first met you in the back patio at Peoria. It was a great conversation. As you look back now, what stands out to you from the journey from then to where you and the team are right now?
Honestly, I think it's all the relationships that I've developed. You got me when I honestly didn't know anybody in the locker room. I walked into a spring training locker room that was filled with big leaguers, minor leaguers, guys that I didn't know were going to be on the team or not. And now I feel like we have this extreme brotherhood. And I think it shows on the field. I think we're all fighting with each other, and it makes it for a lot better product out there, but also a much more fun experience for me and on this team.
You know, chemistry is something I think that every, you know, radio show, every team needs to have. It's not something that can be faked. It's just not. You can try to force the issue a little bit. Was there a moment for you this season where you kind of looked around and went, oh, yeah, this is the real deal. We are actually all together.
I think it's been a culmination of all the comeback wins. And obviously I wasn't here last year. I got asked so many times what happened last year and what's different from last year to this year, and obviously I can't speak to what happened last year, but if you just look at the numbers, we were really bad in one run games, we were really bad in extra inning games, and I think that those moments, I don't know, this is the chicken or the egg conversation, I don't know if those moments make us closer as a team or if because we were already close those moments become easier and now you're fighting for your brother next to you instead of just going out there and playing a baseball game. So I think those are the moments that all think back on as to how I got closer, guys that were times where guys had my back, times where a pitcher comes in and just shuts the door down in the eighth inning and we come back and win the game. So it's been a culmination of all that, and yeah, like I said, it's been very exciting.
For you personally, early in the season, there were some good moments, also some like trouble with the home run ball, and then all of a sudden it just seemed like the hard contact off you stopped. Is there something that you felt like changed or clicked in like a month and a half, 2 months into the season?
I definitely think my command got better. I came out in my first start, walk seven against the Giants, and I think that it wasn't as much a confidence thing as it was I needed to just attack with my stuff in the zone, and then I would be able to limit hard contact because even if I was still in the middle of the plate, I was able to throw all of my pitches for strikes. In those first few starts, couple months, I was 2-0 to like their best hitter, and then I have to now throw a cookie in the middle of the plate, and me hoping that it's just 110 mile an hour line drive at somebody ended up being a home run. So I think that me getting ahead of counts and being more confident in all of my pitches at any point in the middle heart of the plate will play better than being 2-0, 3-1.
Talking to Padres pitcher Michael King here on Ben and Woods this morning. And listen, I know you don't want to put the cart before the horse, but you guys are planning and preparing for the playoffs. How exciting is that? Just to know, hey man, we got a 97% chance of getting in there. Going to be facing some really, really good teams. You're going to get your shot to go out there and compete against the very best and try to win a World Series ring.
It's the best. I mean, that's what you play baseball for. You got to win the last game of the season. So I think that we have been on this stretch for a long time. I also think that we've had a lot of really good teams come in here, but also coming in these last 2 weeks, and I think it'll really prepare us for playoffs. I've never started a playoff game, so it's a huge dream of mine. I can't wait to do it. I think that we have the full makeup in terms of all the guys on our team, and you can definitely feel the atmosphere, whether it be the fans that are here or just the attention to detail that we're really putting into these last 2 weeks because of
it. And how much, like, every pitcher, every starting pitcher just wants to go as long as he can. And sometimes you run out of gas, but you're never going to let anybody know you run out of gas. It's got to be a pretty good feeling to know, if I don't have my exact best stuff tonight, look who's coming in behind me to maybe bail me out or maybe secure me a dub today.
Absolutely. Yes, I want to go complete game every time I go out there. I also hate getting pulled from games, and
we know. We've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it.
You seem really friendly at every other time I've ever seen you, except around the sixth inning, when all of a sudden you look really mad most of the time.
So I've already had conversations with Schulte where I have to apologize after because of my emotions in the moment. I hope that Schulte respects that, but so
he does.
but the main thing is, I think it happened in, I don't know if it was my last start or the start before, Ruben came out, it was the sixth inning, and he told me to empty the tank. And that, to me, was a vote of confidence, saying, we still want you to finish the sixth inning. But also, like, we want you to give us everything you have for this batter or the next batter or as much as you can go. And it doesn't matter if you leave bases loaded, no outs, we're going to bring in the horses, and they're going to just shut it down for us. So that helps in those situations when we're leading, but also when you give up a couple runs in the first couple innings, knowing that if you keep it within a manageable distance, every single one of those guys in the pen is going to put up a zero, and with the offense that we're putting out there, they're going to be able to come back. And it's happened so many times, and you can totally feel that we're never out of a game.
For these last 2 weeks of the season, obviously there's things the Padres can control, things they can't control on the out-of-town scoreboard. Does it matter that much? I mean, you want to make the playoffs, obviously, but securing home field advantage, trying to chase down the Dodgers, like what level of importance is kind of that ranked in the Padres clubhouse right now?
I think that everybody like has it in the back of their head. Everybody knows that all we can do is go out there and win every game that we play. But like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't watching all the Dodgers games, all the Diamondbacks games, all the Mets games, and rooting for the other team. But not only that, I feel like watching all the Diamondbacks games is giving me a huge insight into their approach, knowing that we could be having them in the first round of the playoffs, knowing that we could have whoever, Mets, Braves, we're watching all those games. And I think it ends up being something for us to just know what they're doing, how they're approaching these games, how they're approaching hitters, how I can approach their hitters. And it ends up being a positive for us, regardless of outcome of their game.
I don't know if Mike Schulte discussed any of this with you, but when the postseason comes and there's, you know, maybe a three-game series, are you prepared for whatever may happen in terms of role that they need you to pitch in?
Yeah, none of it has been fully discussed. And, of course, I mean, obviously I was a reliever. I obviously would love to start as many games as possible. I always joke to Ruben that I want to go 1-4-7 of the World Series. But yeah, whatever they need me to do it in the playoffs, it's all hands on deck. So we're just going to win as many games as possible when it gets to that, and throw whoever needs to be thrown.
I'll just counter that with, how about just 1-4? Just 1-4, and then we'll just call it a day. No game sevens. I don't know that. Frankly, I don't know that anybody in this city is prepared for a game seven of a World Series. Padres pitcher Michael King joins us. Tell us a little bit about King of the Hill and what inspired you to get this thing started, and what people can do.
Yeah, so I'll try to condense the story a little bit. I started dating my wife, who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. She was diagnosed at 23 years old. We didn't start dating until after that, but her story is crazy. So her mom has type 1 diabetes, her cousin has type 1 diabetes, her aunt has type 1 diabetes, all on her mom's side of the family. And her dad has been one of my biggest inspirations in terms of philanthropy. He was the president of the board for now Breakthrough T1D in New York. He has run countless marathons in support of type 1 diabetes. And Sheila said, I want to run one with my dad for my mom. This is pre-diagnosis. And while she was training for the marathon, she had a hip injury. She was like months into her training, and she's already run her 20 miler, and she's like, I'm not going to not run this marathon. So the doctor gave her a cortisone shot in her hip. Didn't take. So like a week later, got another cortisone shot in her hip. She was okay, well enough to run. She said it was a really painful race, but she finished. And 6 months later, she got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. There's no science to back this, but a lot of doctors have said, if you are genetically predisposed to the disease, that there can be something that sparks it in you. Steroid is one of them that could be. Her mom was diagnosed at 20. She had some viral infection when she was in college and then got diabetes right after. So obviously the main focus of all diabetes research foundations is to find a cure, but we want to really specify in the genetically predisposed. seeing if there's a way to delay it, seeing if there's a way to prevent the full onset of diabetes. She, there's now ways to test for four different antibodies, and if you have all four, it's at basically 100% chance you're going to get it in your lifetime. There's a medication that's out there, a drug that you can take once you start showing symptoms with all four antibodies that'll delay it by 2 years. And when I asked Sheila about it, I was like, it's only 2 years. Like, why is that necessary? And she was like, you know what it would be, or how much she would enjoy having two more years of normal life. Even then she's thinking about our kids, and if our kids are genetically predisposed and they can get two more years of normal life and two more years of research and development, it'd be huge. There could be a cure in those 2 years. So our main goal is to get as many people screened as possible to see if they're genetically predisposed, but then it's going into research and clinical trials and that kind of thing to see if we can prevent that.
That's awesome.
And I want to personally thank you for this. So much isn't known about type 1. We don't have a family history of it, but my son at age 14, out of the blue, started to lose weight. We didn't know why, and we almost lost him. And eventually he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. He wasn't producing any insulin in his body anymore, and he's been fully insulin dependent now on his own, has to inject himself after every meal. But there's so much that's not known about this and so much research that can still be done. So just as Wood said, what for the public, if they want to kind of support King of the Hill, what are you kind of looking for in these early stages?
We're just launching. We're doing our actual launch event on Thursday. And we have kingofthehillfoundation.org. There's a place to donate there. And then on Instagram, we're King of the Hill Foundation. But the main thing that we're going for now is funds to right now it's going to be give to different hospitals and companies that are located in San Diego, and that's another reason why we wanted to launch it. It's a little bit faster than we wanted to, but once we got out to San Diego, we realized the type 1 community here. Dexcom's one of our sponsors. I'm sure is your son on the CGM. So Dexcom's here, Tandem's here, Rady's Children's Hospital, UCSD. We've been in touch with so many different people here that we know we can help impact. And so that's where all of this initial fundraising is going to go to. We do have an announcement in terms of where it specifically will be on our launch event, so I'll save it for then. But we're very excited to be a part of this community and really feel the love from the community so far.
You are the King of the Hill. The hill is the Mound Woods.
I know exactly what it is.
There's a double entendre in there.
So Sheila's maiden name is Hill.
Come on.
Wow.
And you love the TV show, too.
It's fantastic.
Exactly.
Michael, thank you so much. Good luck the rest of the season, and hopefully in the postseason. It was great to catch up with you again.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.